We got to just do a bit of housework here, a little bit of administration. Firstly, we wanted you all, when you came in, to get one of these, How to Cope with Change. Now, if you haven't got one, Will and I do. So if you haven't got one of these bits of paper, put your hand up now. Thank you. That's good. So have you all got a bit of paper? All down this side. Here we are. Paper? Got one? Yeah, that's good. Now, you are going to need a Bible. And if you haven't got a Bible, that's fine. There's loads of Bibles on the back shelf. So this is a moment to leap out of your seat, get your Bible. If your Bible's on your mobile phone, please turn your mobile phone on it silently, but turn it on. That would be good. And that is what we need before we go into our study this morning, this evening. The day just blends into one for me. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Okay. All right. Deep breath. Let us open our Bibles then. Let's open our Bibles in Genesis chapter 12, beginning a series of studies about walking with God through difficult times. And this is a call of Abraham. The Lord had said to Abraham, he's yet to be called Abraham. That comes later on in the story. He changes his name. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, later to be called Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, we'll go on to verse 9. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. One of my favorite stories of archaeology. 1933, it's in a place called Abu Kemal in Syria. And there's a French garrison there, led by a Lieutenant Caban. And they're digging around there, and a headless statue appears. And he retrieves it because he's interested in archaeology. And he sends a report to the Director of Antiquities in Beirut and the museum in Aleppo. And he receives an entire expedition from the Louvre, led by Professor Parrot, not Poirot, Parrot or Parrot, whatever. And they arrive there. And on the 23rd of January 1934, a statue emerges from the sand and greets them. Well, it's written, it doesn't actually say anything, but it says, "I am Lamgimari, king of Mari." And that was the kingdom where Abraham was living in Haran. And it was the first real evidence we had that the kingdom of Mari ever existed. And actually, discoveries went on. They found the civil service records on bits of pottery and so, such like. And they unearthed basically Whitehall, you know, they found the records and tax records and uncovered this huge palace and discovered the kingdom of Mari was alive and kicking. It comes from the exact time when Abraham passed through there. on his way to the promised land. So I wanted to look very quickly at the whole life of Abraham in about 20 minutes. So I thought I'd get you working on this subject and get you thinking about it. So can I ask you to pick up the bit of paper you got? I just thought we'd try you on a question. You like multiple choice questions. I know modern students do. We never had them when I was at school, he says, sounding old. But here they are, and they're part of life. So here we are. How do you cope with change? A, I like change. B, I hate change. C, I don't mind some change. D, I've changed my mind about change. Which is it? Tick yourself, mark yourself how you cope with change. All right? Now then, I want you to think back through your life. Some of you, this is going to be quite quick because some of you are very young. And some of us, this could take a long time because some of us are very, very old. And as you've got a pen there, and you can do this on your own or you can share it with people. You can do it together if you like. If you're sitting together, you can make suggestions. You can crib, you can look over each other's shoulders, you can see what the other one's writing, you can turn around and see what they're writing, you can ask them what they're writing, you can phone a friend, you can look it up on Google, if your life is on Google, or you can read your own biography if that's been written. But I would like you now just to write down some of the changes that have occurred in your life, okay? Some of the changes that have occurred in your life. Incidentally, if you listen to this on the internet, we probably edit out some of the long silences. But if you are listening to this on the internet, you might like to do this. List the changes that have occurred in your life before we move on. My word, there's a lot of changes, aren't there? No to somebody. Okay. Some of the changes that have been in your life. Just shout out a change that's down on your sheet of paper.
Mobile phone,
that's a change. Changed phones. Changed where you communicate. Others. Moved to Wales. Moved country. How many have moved country? Whoa, yes. Yes, that's good. Lived abroad. How many have lived abroad? Other changes.
Turned 18.
nearly all got there. Nearly all there. I'm nearly there. Other changes.
Getting married.
Become a Christian. That's good. So put that one down. Other changes. Children, became father, mother. Other changes. Unemployment.
Change jobs.
Returning to work after a long break.
Loss of loved ones.
Change. Yeah.
Moving house.
Yeah. Okay, well, which changes have been the hardest? You don't have to answer this. This isn't, if you say that's really too painful to talk about, Peter, then don't talk about it, not publicly here. Changes have been the hardest.
Probably getting married.
Getting married. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't awful, but
it's something to get used to. I was keeping a diplomatic silence at that point, you understand. I was not saying anything.
Changes
you didn't have any control over. Yeah, those are awful.
Dealing with uncertainty,
that's really tough. Yeah. Okay, I found coming back from abroad after 20 years and trying to resettle in Britain was the hardest thing. Okay? Well, there's another page, but we'll come on to that in a minute.
Let's just take a look very quickly at Abraham. Look at the world he lives in. Now, just before you think, well, that was ancient. He lived in a world of many different religions and in the midst of some very dubious spiritualities. Some years ago, I cut this out of one of the broadsheets. It's an article by the atheist Polly Toynbee, who was complaining about the spirituality in the UK, as she does frequently. And when she's not complaining specifically about Christians, it's about anything spiritual. And she was complaining about the mind, body and spirit festival in London. This is going back a few years now, 1999, I think, 1998. And she says, replete with stalls for new age marketing and PR agencies, you can awaken the goddess within, heal your inner child, release your psychic energy and block your pathways, or have an out-of-body experience with Don the Gong Master. You can have your eyeballs massaged and your aura photographed. The big commercial growth areas like feng shui have become as much a part of the interior decorating scene as wallpaper. Then she goes on complaining about all people who believe in things spiritual. And she quotes Professor Peter Clark, Professor of History and Sociology of Religion at King's College London, who says, "We live in the most superstitious age ever." I don't know where he gets that from. He notes glumly that a psychic will get 1,500 people into a lecture theatre, while a philosopher is lucky to draw 20. Why, he asks. Yeah, quite. Who's the more interesting? Even if it is nonsense. Anyway, there you go. I think that's kind of the world in which we live. There's any kind of spirituality will go. And, you know, Abraham's existence was no different. As Abraham passed from area to area, he met new gods, new religions, new superstitions, new spiritualities. But his life has been set down. In Genesis 12, verse 1, he's told, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to land I will show you." Now, there are three changes. Okay? He leaves his country. He leaves his people. He's left behind his friends, left behind his kinsfolk, and he's left his father's house, left his parents' house. And I'm kind of looking around, and I think just about everyone here at one point has left their parents' house and gone to live somewhere else. That's a massive change. It's fun, isn't it? You were desperate to get out, were you not? Time had arrived. But and here you are in the big wide world. So he's told to go and leave. And the Old Testament starts here, basically. This is the beginning of the Old Testament. The first 11 chapters have been a prologue. But the rest of the book goes on from there. And then he begins to wander. And he's encountered all kinds of gods and all kinds of religions. And then he meets with God. And it's not in chronological order, but I think the other really big verse is Genesis 17, verse 1. "When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless.'" I am, in Hebrew, I am El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. I'm God Almighty. God needs a name. You can't address your prayers to whomever it may concern. You've got to call God something. In fact, in the next study, we're going you're going to be surprised, very surprised, by somebody who actually makes up her own name for God. Interesting. How often does that happen in the Bible? So God meets Abraham and introduces himself. "Abraham, I'm El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. You can call me God Almighty if you want." And you've got to realize that as Abraham has been traveling, every place he's been to has its own God, has its own temple, has its own religion. And every place thinks that their God is the most important for them. So he's gone through different cultures, he's gone through different religions. He's found a God, and he has come to the belief that this God can accompany him on his journey. Abraham is Iraqi, but in modern day terms, he's from Iraq. And he's traveled up to Syria, and from Syria he travels down to Israel and ends up in Egypt. And that's quite a long journey on foot with cattle. And children and his household, and yeah, it's quite a journey. And he reckons he's come to realize that God is going to be with him. All right, so here's the point for which you need a Bible, and if you haven't got a Bible, please grab one from the stands at the back. And you can do this on your own, or you can join a group. It's good to join a group. Join a group is going to be fun. If you turn over the paper, we come to this. Leaf through Genesis 12 to 25. What changes did Abraham experience? Leaf through the Bible from verse 12 to chapter 12 to 25. And just make, and please help each other. All right? This is not a test. And what I'd like is for you to sort of shout to each other. Please crib each other's notes. Say what you've written down. Please just turn and offer your help and your opinion to those around about you. I'd like to hear a nice little healthy murmur. That's good. Or if you want to do it on your own, that's fine. That's fine as well, all right? But please, what changes did Abraham encounter? Where you go. Okay, how have we done? Oh, not there yet.
Typical academic response. Too many questions and not enough time to do it.
Yep. Well, I tell you what, let's cheat. Let's do like they do in the university and in the exam. In the exam, they say, oh, time's running out. Would you just help each other to finish the paper? And you go, that's what they do in the final year exams. It's a secret not many people know about, but... okay? What have you... Let's start... Please start shouting out some of the things on your list, okay? Go for it. Moved country several times, yeah.
Met with God.
Got thrown out of Egypt.
Separation and loss from
family.
Had children.
Sent one away.
Yeah. Sent a child away. Sorry?
Received a promise.
Received many promises.
Visited by angels.
Changed his name.
Experienced famine.
That's good.
Made difficult choices.
Sorry?
Bereavement.
Bereavement.
Met significant people.
Sorry from that. Yeah. Had that encounter with God that was very scary. Yeah, and what was that in the middle of?
Sorry?
What was that in the middle of? Yeah, or just about on the verge of?
Whether God would destroy
Sodom and Gomorrah. And what destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah?
What?
Well, what was it that destroyed? What was it that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah?
Brimstone and fire.
Yeah, a kind of natural disaster, basically, wasn't it? It was talked about for centuries after in that part of the world. So he experienced natural disaster. He experienced God answering his prayers and giving chance, giving opportunity to for salvation. Yeah, that's good. Experienced war, didn't he? Had to go and get Lot back to fight. Experienced war. Yeah. Legal wrangling. Yeah. All these things he encountered. Things that he had to learn how to cope with.
Took things into his own hands when he had sex with his white slave.
Yeah, we'll come on to that one next week, what happened with Hagar. Okay. That's next week. Okay, so he did all those things. And he did live a long time. So he had plenty of opportunity to do all that, but that's quite something. Natural disaster, famine, war, emigration, immigration, cultures, languages, family arguments, marriage, widowhood. Yeah. Let's turn to chapter 15, verse 6. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. That's the third verse that really defines Abraham. He believed the Lord. The New Testament talks about the just shall live by faith. And a lot of commentators point out that you couldn't translate that. The just shall live by faithfulness. Just by continuing to love and obey God right through all the changes of life. Here's the thing. Through all that, Abraham remained faithful. He made mistakes. He wasn't always a very nice man. You might change your mind about him next week when we look at the story. But he was faithful to God. He hung on there. He believed in El Shaddai. He believed in God right through all those changes. In every circumstance, God was with him, and somehow or other, although there was that uncertainty, yeah, God stood by him. So I want you just to go back to your original question about your own life, all the changes that have happened so far in your life. Here's the point. God has been faithful. And all those things that happened to Abraham, you know, most of those, a lot of those, we're going to tick off for ourselves at one point if we live long enough. A lot of those we're going to end up saying, oh yeah, I've been through that. Oh yeah, I've got that t-shirt, you know. And here's the point. He believed God and he walked with God through every one of them. I don't know what's going to happen in your lives. Don't know what's going to happen in mine. But here's the point. You're going to walk with God through it. There's a nice poem by a poet called Geoffrey Rust. And he's talking about a man. And incidentally, if you're a foreign student, All Souls here is the name of a church. Okay, it's the name of an Anglican church. He says this. He came to faith in All Souls, but it wasn't until much later he came to faith in all circumstances. Abraham learned faith in all circumstances. God doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever, the Bible says. And to all those changes, God was the same. And he met him. I don't know how you think about that. Some of you are just want to get through your studies, and that's fine. That's okay. But there's going to be huge changes in your life, huge changes in the coming years. But God is going to stand by you, and you need to learn to find God in all the circumstances, good and bad, ups and downs. Faith in all circumstances. Band, please join me on the platform. Let's just bow our heads before we move into the communion service. Yeah, Father, Abraham just went through so much. In those just sort of 13 chapters of the Bible, we see a man and his family on the long, long road. just walking through life and encountering challenges and difficult things and getting through them, somehow scrabbling through them, sometimes getting through them and making mistakes, sometimes getting it wrong and having to correct it or just readjust life, sometimes getting it gloriously right. That kind of sounds like me. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but you're always the same. So Lord, we just pray that we might have faith in all circumstances. It's great when things are going well to love you and walk with you. It's harder when things are going badly and to believe that you're still there beside us, but you are. So Lord, I pray your blessing on us now in Jesus' name. Amen.